Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the San Diego Housing Commission Board Meeting of April 7th. I will now call this meeting to order at 9 o'clock. Chair Ottesen is not able to be here this morning. All other commissioners, except Bobby, who is not able to be here, she's traveling, are here and present. Members of the public who wish to address the commission must complete a request form. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony for those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes total per side. Non-agenda public comments are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda must fill out a white speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary. Members of the public also may request to have an item pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker request form once the consent agenda has been proposed. To speak on a matter that is on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. Those who wish to speak in opposition to the item must complete the pink-colored form. Those in favor must complete the gold. We now proceed with our non-agenda public comment. Non-agenda public comment? I do not have any speaker request forms unless I've overlooked them, so thank you very much. We'll move on. Commissioner comments? Good morning. Nice to see you all. Do you have any comments you'd like to make?
I do.
Thank you.
Last week, Vice Chair Cerdy and I had the opportunity to be in Washington to participate in Nauru's annual legislative advocacy tour. And one of the things that we had various meetings, but two meetings in particular that I thought were important, and I have indications that they went well, is with the office of Congressman Hunter and with Daryl Issa, Congressman from North County, whose district does actually extend just barely into the north part of San Diego. They said they have, I think, 75 votes from the city of San Diego in their district. But the reason we called on them was Congressman Vargas, Congressman Davis, Congressman Peters all have most of our, virtually all of our projects in their districts. And we've got good lines of communication. But we have fewer lines of communication with the two that I mentioned that we visited. And our mission was to explain to them the benefits of our Moving to Work program, which makes us fairly unique, and you're going to hear a report on that a little bit later. But also the fact that we are the eighth largest city in the country, and we're acknowledged as having the fourth largest homeless problem in the country, but we get the 22nd most dollars that are from the federal government specifically directed toward homeless. And that's based upon a formula that was created in HUD, I don't know, 25 to 30 years ago. The only one at the table that would remember would be Rick. And not that he's that old, it's just that he's been in the business that long. I still acknowledge the fact that I'm a little bit older than he is. So, but anyhow, they weren't aware of this problem. And we wanted to explain it to them and see if they could use their offices to influence the Secretary of HUD, who we also heard speak last week while we were there, but persuade the Secretary of HUD to reinstall that the efforts that we had been working on under the previous administration to get that formula changed. I don't know if we're going to be successful, but we're sure going to try. The reality is that for us to move from 22nd even to 15th would mean that seven other agencies in the country got less dollars, because we don't anticipate that the pool of money total for homeless is going to increase that significantly. So we're trying to get them to just bring balance to the table. And I think the meetings went extremely well. And so that's what I have to report.
Thank you very much. It was my first opportunity to attend the meetings with Gary, and I really got quite an education. Gary's quite an expert in this regard, and it was really a wonderful opportunity. So thank you very much to everyone. We'll now hear a report from Rick Gentry, our president and CEO.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got four brief items. One, kind of piggybacking on the comments that that Mr. Ramley made about D.C., and then three brief homelessness items. Money, federal money. As you all well remember, over 80% of our funding comes from the federal government, from Washington, D.C., so it is hugely important to us. And although the president's proposed budget showed a pretty draconian 13% cut in HUD's budget, I am guardedly optimistic for two reasons. Number one is, although the president proposes, the Congress disposes, and I've been told that that budget will not go through the Hill. Although there may well be some reductions, that won't be to the extent proposed. The second is that our largest funding source is the Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program. It is by far the backbone of this organization. We house over 15,000 families in that program every year. Federal revenues for both subsidies and staffing over $150 million a year. It is huge to us and the country. And the president's budget only shows a cut to us in that program of 1.56%, give or take. And that translates into maybe 220 vouchers at most. So even, I believe this will be the worst case scenario that we face. So even given that, I am guardedly optimistic going forward. What the president's proposed budget does do, which has produced a lot of hues and cries, is zeroing out some very popular programs that go to cities. CDBG, HOME, Section 4, and some other smaller, more boutique-like programs that go to the cities. And we'll see how it plays out. But as always, I think if you look at the position the industry's in and the position that we're in, this agency is as well positioned as any for any funding reductions. Next, Madam Chair, I've got three brief homelessness items that all relate to local San Diego issues. Number one, Council President Merle Cole called a City of San Diego Homelessness Summit down at Golden Hall about 2.5 weeks ago. It was on March the 20th, Monday afternoon. And there were a series of, there was an open forum, a lot of public comments made, and a number of presentations. The Housing Commission made a presentation then of what we're looking for as staff to propose to our policy makers, both the commission here and the Housing Authority and City Council. You know, same people, but different measures they can act on. For the next 3 years, that would be some $78.7 million. And in the last workshop of the last item on the agenda today, the second workshop, we'll have staff go through that with you all in detail and show you what we're proposing. And then that proposal will come to you in three bites with the three different budgets coming forward over the next 3 years. I'll also point out that what we are proposing is doable regardless of what idiocy the folks on the banks of the Potomac do the next year or two. Also different but related, on April the 3rd, just this past Monday, I joined Mayor Faulkner and some other officials while the mayor announced his proposal to put a proposed ballot measure on the for the citizens to vote on. I see a picture up there right now. There's several good-looking people, but there's one big exception, as you can see. But the if approved by the voters, this proposed ballot measure would increase the city's whole hotel tax by anywhere from 1 to 3%, depending on some details, and that would be for three purposes. One is to expand the convention center, which you can see there in the background. The second is to do streets and roads repair in the city. And the third is to provide additional funding for homelessness remedies. And that would, if passed, would be an initial at least $10 million per year, beginning with the initial year, increasing in years out from that. And the Housing Commission, I'm being very careful that we not get beyond our mandate, but I think an extra source of revenue funding for homelessness activities, whether that money comes to us or not, and I assume it would be good for the city. Relative to that, the City Council then, the Rules Committee on April the 5th, just 2 days ago, took action to refer both the homelessness ballot measures to the full council for a vote, and also the plans that came out of the City of San Diego Homelessness Summit on March the 20th. So things are happening. And Madam Chair, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Keith. Let's move forward with the approval of the minutes. March 10th, 2017, the regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners. Any corrections to those minutes at this time? It's been moved by, thank you, moved and approved. Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved. Thank you. We do have, we'll move on to our regular items on our agenda. Item 100, fiscal year 2018 moving to work annual plan approval. We have an opportunity for consent. Mr. Chuck, excuse me, consent agenda?
Yes, you can. Even though consent agenda was not mentioned on the agenda, you have the ability at this point to propose a consent agenda. If you'd like to have Item 100 heard on the consent agenda because the full matter had been heard at the last meeting, you can certainly do that.
Comments from the commissioners?
I'll move that it be moved to the consent agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion approved. We'll now move on to Item 101, the additional loan recommendations for Vista do Puente. Mr. Gentry, who will be presenting this morning?
Ted Miyahara and our real estate department will be doing the presentation this morning.
Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen. The item before you is a $1 million funding increase for the project known as Vista del Puente. The board is probably very familiar with this project. They heard and approved it back in June of 2016. It's a 52-unit development composed of 38 permanent supportive housing units, 13 traditional affordable housing units, and a single manager's unit. It's located in the South Crest Community Plan area and is being co-developed by National Community Renaissance and townspeople. The development was structured as a competitive 9% tax credit application. The developer was successful in securing credits back in September. So why are we here? The new administration has plans to roll out major tax reform. There have been discussions about reducing corporate tax rates from 35% down to 15%. Potential changes to corporate tax rates have impacted the tax credit market, including a reduction in credit pricing and also decreased demand. Institutional investors or syndicators are the primary purchasers of low-income housing tax credits in San Diego. Tax credits provide a reduction in federal income tax liability over a 10-year period, and so changes to corporate tax rates will impact the price in which investors are willing to pay for the credits. Investors are not just purchasing the credits, they're also owners of real property. Ownership in real estate provides additional tax benefits such as depreciation and interest expense write-off. So the issue really boils down to yields. Tax code changes would impact yields, so investors are paying less for each credit. So I wanted to just lightly scratch the surface of what's going on. And what I did was model the slide from the Office of the Comptroller of Currency. They published a report back in 2014 on affordable housing development, affordable housing investing for banks. So the chart models the key components used to determine the investor's return on investment. This is a simple example of how tax credits impact, tax rates impact tax credit pricing. What you see is a scenario where an investor contributes $1 million to a limited partnership. And so starting from the bottom left and working our way across, you'll see that the investor put forward $1 million in investment capital, which the developer uses to finance their development. The investor receives just over $1 million, which means they purchase the credits for just under $1 each. And over a 19-year period, the investor accumulates $1 million in losses, and that's the middle column. The losses are from items such as depreciation, mortgage interest expense, accrued interest on soft loans, and allowable fees and expenses. Taxable losses benefit investors. They like losses. So at a 35% tax rate, the investor receives an additional $350,000 in tax savings. The annual benefit to the investor is approximately $1.4 million, and that's displayed on the second column to the left, far right. So the investor put up $1 million. They got $1.4 million in tax benefits. And so over that 19-year period, their internal rate of return or their yield was about 6%. So keeping all things the same, except for changing the tax rate from 35% down to 15%, you see that there are some major changes in the tax savings column. Tax savings dropped to $150,000, and the annual benefit is reduced to $1.2 million. At a 15% tax rate, the investor yields 3.5%. That's much different than 6%. So in order for the investor to maintain that 6% yield, they need to drop the price in which they would pay for each credit.
Commissioner Sardi and commission members, this is an important lesson and something that we probably should do on a regular basis with you. This is the crux of the affordable housing finance for us. This is why we come back to you periodically with increased loan amounts or decreased loan amounts, because the pricing swings. And so this is very important to us and to all the developers right now in San Diego as we look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. It's a guess what's going to happen right now, but this has impacted this deal, and Ted's done a marvelous job with outlining exactly the impacts that we see every day.
So back in June of 2016, San Diego was experiencing credit pricing around $1.10 to $1.15. The threat of tax reform reduced pricing to about $1 today. As a result, Vista del Puente is experiencing a $750,000 gap or tax credit equity shortfall. In addition, the developer experienced slight increases to construction costs as well as an increase to financing costs. The Federal Reserve has raised the federal funds rate twice in the last 3 months. And to put that into perspective, they've increased that rate only three times over the last 8 years. So over the past year, 10-year treasuries have gone up about 100 basis points. So the cost of borrowing money has gone up. Financing costs paired with slight cost increases to the hard cost have raised total development costs by approximately 2% or $450,000 since last June. This was an expensive project the last time you saw it. It's an expensive project today. Total development cost is about $21 million, which equates to about $408,000 per unit. Staff remain supportive of this project because our subsidy, even at $4 million, is comparable to what we've typically funded on a per unit basis. In addition, the developer has done an excellent job of securing all their financing sources. They got 9% tax credits, a $3.3 million loan from the state to house homeless vets, $500,000 from the Federal Home Loan Bank, and a $300,000 grant from Home Depot. The developer is prepared to break ground in June, pending your approval today. And with that, I will conclude and open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. Commissioners? Yes, Gary?
Last week, while we were in Washington, this was a major topic amongst all of the different housing agencies from across the country. And frankly, based on what we were hearing last week, getting a $1 in March of 2017 is a good accomplishment, because many of the agencies were talking about having dropped down into the mid to lower 90s, which would have made this gap twice as large easily on that. So my compliments to whoever was able to negotiate that financing on it. But it's a very real thing that, you know, I believe the administration is going to carry through with some kind of a tax reform of some sort. And so this is going to be a real problem for all of us.
Thank you. Mr. Gentry, do you have a comment?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I'm going to reflect the comments Mr. Gramley made earlier about the length of my experience and the age related to it. When tax credits first came into being in 1986, the initial payout was around 40 to 50 cents on the dollar. It took about 15 to 20 years for that industry to mature. And as it matured and the risk decreased and the yields decreased and the pricing to the public sector, to the customer base increased. It may not be quite as simple as algebra, but it's a fairly simple version of a higher level math. For the 10 years before coming here, 9 years ago, from 1998 to 2008, I worked in the tax credit industry. And at that time, I saw rates fluctuate from 80 cents on the dollar to lately pushing $1.20 in some cases. So the fact that these rates are coming back down is nothing unusual. And people are crying and screaming bloody murder now, but it goes with the territory. And for those of us who pride ourselves on working in a private sector-like way, which we do here, we have to recognize that there are risks inherent in private sector business that we have to deal with. And in this case, as a good developer, a good deal, and the equity investments that they thought we're going to have has fallen through no fault of their own, we do have the money available, and this would basically, if you all approve, round out the $30 million in equity or in secondary financing that we put on the table as our Housing First San Diego initial proposal back in November of 2014. With this approval, this means we will have allocated $29.5 million of the $30 million. That would have produced, Debbie, with 504 units, thereabouts, and how many deals? And seven deals.
Seven total.
Seven total deals. And so this is a significant part of our effort to provide extra inventory going forward to deal with the homeless.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Are there any other comments? Yes.
Related to the topic, but will we be briefed on what our strategy, since it is inherently risky, on our strategy moving forward with this type of thing? You know, if we bridge this gap for them, we can see this happening moving forward again. So what is our plan? I don't need that answer now, but will we be bringing something forward? And we have an informational report on the status of the loan portfolio, so that should probably be included in some sort of report as well.
We will include that going forward. This was an opportunity for us to talk about specifically how it impacted this loan and why it's coming back a second time. We also are working on a strategy. We've been very prudent and had some great developers, such as the ones in the audience today, to help us. And our contribution per deal has hovered around $100,000 a unit. This may go up in time, but we're going to probably see a lot of sources like this on the screen. We've got several that have 8, 9 different funding sources. So it's getting harder for the developers, and we'll absolutely keep you apprised of what our strategy is to help them.
That'll probably trigger different, as you said, different sources, which means trigger different wage costs and things like that, which will ultimately go up as well.
Yes, it's going to, legal costs and all of that. It's going to make these deals much harder to put together. Thank you, Mr. Moraga. Before we move, we'd like to have a comment. Okay. All right. Mr. Moraga has made a motion for approval. Do I hear a second? And thank you very much. Mr. Davis, yes. Okay. Additional discussion, commissioners? I understand. So any questions from anyone? Hearing none, let's call for the motion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Looks unanimous. Opposed? Thank you. The motion is carried.
Thank you. And
thank
we'd
you
like
very
to
much.
Recognize the developers in the audience who came here. We've got John Seymour and we've got John Derryberry from National Corps and townspeople here and their staff. They've worked very hard on this.
Thank you very much, everyone. We appreciate all of your efforts. Thank you. And good luck moving forward. The next item on our agenda, item 102, the proposed fiscal year 2018 Affordable Housing Fund annual plan requires City Council approval. Mr. Gentry?
Ann Kern will be leading the discussion this afternoon, Ann, from our Finance Department.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Good morning, Commissioners, Chair Surdy, Mr. Christensen, and current Vice President of Housing Finance and Program Development. And we are very pleased to present item 102, the 2018 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan. This is one of the bright spots in funding for the City of San Diego. It is a local revenue source. The plan reflects above average collections from the inclusionary housing in lieu fees from a robust residential construction market. These funds are one component of the Housing Commission's budget and are reported on separately in accordance with municipal code requirements. The budget itself will provide a bigger picture of all available funds and program allocations, and that is on today's agenda as well. Liliana Caracosa administers the Affordable Housing Fund and will provide you with the detail on this year's plan.
Thank you, Anne. Good morning, Chair Surdy, Mr. Gentry, Mr. Christensen, and Commissioners. Liliana Caracosa, Senior Program Analyst. This agenda item before you today is a recommendation for approval to the San Diego City Council to approve the proposed fiscal year 2018 Affordable Housing Fund Annual Plan. Each year, we are required to present an annual plan to City Council for approval. The requested actions related to the fiscal year 2018 annual plan are as follows. 1. Recommend approval of the proposed fiscal year 2018 Affordable Housing Fund program allocation of $74,024,502 in anticipated funds and to approve our model programs. And 2. To authorize the San Diego Housing Commission President and Chief Executive Officer to reallocate funds among the model programs included in the annual plan in response to market demands and opportunities. The annual plan is a framework for planning and budgeting of the fund revenues. The plan specifies the amount of money budgeted for housing activities and administrative expenses, in addition to describing the programs to be funded. The Affordable Housing Fund is an annually renewable source of revenue, and it helps to meet the housing needs of the city's very low and medium income households. At 50% area medium income, a family of four would be earning less than $42,500 annually. The Affordable Housing Fund also leverages revenues 2-to-1. It supports the city's balanced communities policy, preserves and maintains affordable housing, and encourages private sector activities. And although we are only required to leverage $1 of city funds with $2 of non-city funds, historically, the affordable housing funds have leveraged 10-to-1. The Affordable Housing Fund is made up of the Inclusionary Housing Fund and the Housing Trust Fund. The Inclusionary Housing Fund revenue comes from the collection of fees from residential development and loan repayments. The housing trust fund revenue comes from fees on commercial development and loan repayments. And these are two examples of projects that have benefited from affordable housing fund dollars. To the left, we see Atmosphere, and to the right, Talmadge Gateway, which is a Housing First project. In fiscal year 2018, we anticipate over $74 million in affordable housing fund. The funding is composed of fund balance in addition to new funding. Of the $62.6 million in projected fund balance, $27.5 million is already committed to ongoing projects in rental housing finance, with three other projects in for you that, if approved, will commit another $23 million. And this slide, I apologize, it's kind of small, but it lists program allocation for each department and what is what they will be receiving specifically. As you can see, the majority going towards rental housing finance, with other programs including home ownership, transitional housing, rapid rehousing, landlord engagement, prevention and diversion, our transit-oriented development fund, seed money investment, and others. And this is just a pie chart that illustrates the percentages of the funding. Again, with 74.2 going towards rental housing finance, 13.5 to our TOD seed investment, 8.5 to homeless programs, and so forth. The model programs activity list guides the uses for the Affordable Housing Fund. Several of the programs include revisions to be consistent with current initiatives and activities. We are proposing the following changes to the model programs. Under our rental housing production, we would like to update the scope, terms, and application method. In addition, add the affordable housing transit-oriented development, also known as TOD, revolving loan fund. This would just be the seed money investment. Under our housing rehabilitation program, we would like to add our new clean and green program that provides sustainable homeowner loans. And finally, for homeless housing initiatives, we would like to add four new programs: landlord engagement, prevention and diversion assistance, outreach and housing navigation, and our moving on rental assistance program. SDHC staff attended two community planning group meetings in March, San Ysidro and Encanto. Next week, I will be presenting at the Navajo Community Planning Group. And to date, we've received one public comment. We will be going to Smart Growth and Land Use in May and City Council in June. Approval of the action will result in the continued funding of activities benefiting the City of San Diego's very low, low, and medium income households. Allocating funding to construct approximately 480 rental units, assist 10 homebuyers, provide funding for 625 transitional housing beds, assist 180 households through a rapid rehousing program, house 850 households through the landlord engagement program, and divert 300 households out of the homeless system through the prevention and diversion program. That concludes our presentation, and we are happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions or comments? Thank you, Ben.
I just want to say it's nice to see the prevention and diversion outreach programs being added. It's a piece of the puzzle that we haven't had there in the past, so that's really nice to see. Good job.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
I do have one question. It may not be just you, but you tickled me with it on the 10 loans for future home buyers, and I see someone in the audience that can probably answer the question even further. Do we currently have funding for the low and moderate income silent seconds that we've been doing?
I don't know if you want to. Terry, address that.
Terry, why don't you address that?
And I'm sorry to diverge, but.
And just to note that last year our funding for through inclusionary was $1 million, so it was about 20 home buyers approximately, with a combination of the assistance grant and the loan.
Okay.
But this year the funding is $500,000, and but Carrie can provide a little more explanation on that.
So Currently, for the fiscal year 2017, we have allocated all of our funds. For FY18, the $500,000 just is a portion of the funding that will go to the program. We also have federal sources that will be used for the program. Both HOME and CDBG will be used for next year's activities as well. So I think we're proposing $3.5 million for homeownership activities next fiscal year.
And since we've already allocated all the funds for 2017, when will you be able to accept applications for FY2018?
We will begin accepting applications in July.
And I would just like to add one thing. One of the things that we are going to focus on next year with Carrie's team and the homeownership team, as well as our servicers, is we will be implementing new loan servicing software and underwriting software. So that also is reflected in a lower budget because we're going to have to devote some extra time to that as well.
Thank you very much. Any other comments or questions? Thank you. There is no action on the part of our Housing Commission on this item. So, Mr. Gentry, do you have a comment? Or
we do need action on that. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yes, we should. You should take a motion to either approve or reject the recommendation. But the board report asks that the Housing Commission recommend that the City Council take action. So you should vote on this.
Agenda does say workshop, no action required. That's why.
The 102 board report requires action.
Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. Do we hear a motion then to approve? Thank you. And second. Thank you very much. It's been moved and second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I got ahead of myself. Thank you very much. Appreciate your presentation. We'll now move on to item 104. Mr. Gentry, who will be presenting. Sorry. 103. Workshop and discussion on the San Diego Housing Commission proposed fiscal 2018 budget. Who will be presenting this morning?
Jeff Davis will. Jeff, you take the lead.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair Surdy, Commissioners. My name is Jeff Davis. I'm the Chief of Staff, and with me is Tracy McDermott, our Chief Financial Officer. Today, we will be providing a brief overview of some of the major highlights of the budget, and then Tracy will walk you through the objectives and deliverables and the agency's proposed sources and uses of funds. We are extremely pleased to present to you the proposed FY2018 budget. This is an ambitious budget, and it reflects actions to advance and expand many of our major programs that impact the lives of so many low-income and homeless San Diegans. Last year, you approved our FY2017 budget in the amount of $368 million. This year, we are requesting your approval for a $433 million budget. So we want to assure you that the budget we are presenting to you today is a conservative budget. It incorporates the proposed federal budget figures recently released by the President and the most recent proposals released by both chambers of Congress. At this time, it does appear likely that we can expect a reduction ranging from a likely 2.5% or less to a worst case scenario of 6% in our moving to work funds, which makes up the lion's share of our funding. However, due to years of careful fiscal management, along with the innovative MTW programming we've put in place, the Housing Commission has carefully been able to approve funds that will be utilized in the coming years to support the expanded activities that you're going to hear about today. In addition, our affordable housing properties that we own and manage are expected to perform very well. And so it's for these reasons we present to you confidently the largest budget in the history of the agency. Our expanded activities are primarily in three areas: the rehabilitation and improvements to our agency-owned and managed affordable housing properties, The continued growth in the number of these units through the acquisition of affordable housing units, and the heightened involvement of the agency in its efforts to address homelessness in our city. So doing more does require additional staff. We are requesting to hire 26 additional full-time staff at the agency. 11 of these positions are needed to support the effort to provide permanent housing to San Diegans who are homeless or at risk of homeless, which you will hear in detail in the following workshop, as well as to continue the support of our Housing Our Heroes initiative. 7 of these positions will support the increased activities of improving our properties, acquiring new affordable units, and providing property management to an ever-increasing number of families in our units. 4 of these positions will support the continued growth in our rental assistance program through the addition of veteran vouchers, homeless vouchers, and other special population voucher programs. Lastly, 4 of these positions will support the increased capacity needed in our fiscal services, human resources, and information technology departments. This budget represents a culmination of years of excellent strategic planning and thinking big under the direction and leadership of this board and of our CEO, Rick Gentry. We anticipate that FY18 will be a very exciting year for our agency and for the tens of thousands of families that we will serve. So in summary, we come to you for your comments and are seeking your support for the $433 million budget that Tracy will now walk you through.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, Tracy McDermott, Chief Financial Officer. Now let's move on to our objectives and deliverables outlined for 2018 to achieve results in the areas just discussed. We keep our mission and our strategic plan in mind while developing our budget. San Diego Housing Commission's 4-year strategic plan was approved by our Board of Commissioners in September 2016. 3 major goals were identified and are listed on this slide. We will spend more time on how each goal was fundamental in determining our objectives and deliverables for 2018. As we continue to provide rental assistance for more than 15,400 families, support is needed for increased specialty programs. We will increase our focus in choice communities to enable households to relocate from high and medium poverty neighborhoods to low poverty neighborhoods. We will also launch San Diego Housing Commission Moving Home, a rapid rehousing program. To create and preserve affordable housing, we've committed more than $27 million to the renovation and comprehensive rehabilitation of the San Diego Housing Commission's owned assets. We also plan to invest $25 million in acquisition and development of affordable housing units. And of course, we continue to maintain proper oversight of our ever-growing portfolio. To address homelessness, we'll be launching our next phase of Housing First San Diego, which builds upon the prior accomplishments by assisting individuals to obtain permanent housing. Through this effort, housing opportunities will be made available for up to 3,000 homeless individuals and families over the next 3 years, with the programs listed on this slide. You will hear more about the next phase of Housing First San Diego and the next workshop that will be presented to you after our budget presentation. We will also continue programs from our Housing First San Diego Action Plan, such as the Monarch School, the San Diego State University Guardian Scholars Program, and we continue to administer the City Homeless Shelters and Service Programs. All of these programs have a significant and positive impact on the numbers of San Diegans at risk of experiencing homelessness. We will concentrate on operational efficiencies in order to enhance customer service and effectively maximize our resources. To expand agency-wide private and government funding sources, we have earmarked $10 million for the Transit-Oriented Development Fund, also known as TOD, to increase production of affordable housing to be located near transit. Now let's talk about our sources of funds for 2018. This slide summarizes total funding sources for 2018 compared to 2017, which increased by $65 million primarily for 3 reasons. utilizing MTW flexibility for acquisition and rehabilitation of affordable housing. Additional affordable housing funds of $29 million that will be deployed to achieve planned objectives, and the strategy to set aside real estate reserves to fund future rehabilitation efforts. This slide compares our total funding sources available in 2018 versus 2017. Note in the red squares that the federal funding increased by close to $24 million, primarily due to the utilization of HUD-held reserves, and local funding increased by just over $41 million. Here's a pie graph of our new revenues for 2018. The blue area represents federal revenue, about 81% of our new revenue for 2018. Now we'll discuss the uses of funds. This is a summary of total uses of 2018 over 2017, which increased by $60 million, primarily due to the targeted efforts to acquire and provide financing for the development of affordable housing units, significant homelessness efforts, and the rehabilitation of the San Diego Housing Commission-owned assets. This is a year-over-year comparison of our funding uses by major category. This chart depicts total funding uses, not including our reserves, by major division. The rental assistance division, the blue area on the pie chart, is almost half of the funding uses for 2018. This is a summary of staffing year-over-year and shows changes by division. Here we have a slide showing our homeless program's expenditures expected for 2018. This is a growing mission for San Diego. The Housing Commission will commit close to $70 million towards this effort in fiscal year 2018. As you can see on the chart before you, we have tripled our efforts since 2015. As I mentioned before, we'll be launching the next phase of Housing First San Diego. This slide outlines our year one expected expenditures by the major programs, more than $28 million. We have committed close to $79 million over the next 3 years. This is a schedule of our expected ending reserves for 2018 compared to 2017. Close to 54% of our reserves are restricted to supporting the programs from which they were generated. 28% are property reserves specifically set aside for capital improvements and other major repairs. We maintain the recommended minimum 5% of our total new revenues in contingency reserves, which is about 18% of our total expected ending reserves. Just a recap of our reserve policy regarding program, property, and contingency reserves. Finally, let's wrap up with a recap of 2018 budget compared to 2017 budget. $65 million increase in total funding sources, a $31 million increase in capital expenditures, and an increase in personnel by 26. We will be returning to the board next month to ask for approval of the fiscal year 2018 budget with total funding sources of $433 million. Thank you. This concludes our presentation. I want to thank my team for preparing this budget, with special thanks to Jennifer Crowder, Yaro Zeman, Julie Conserva, and Randy Olson. And last but not least, even though she is not here today, but she is listening in, I want to thank Commissioner Spoon for her guidance and support. I met with her this past Wednesday. We went over the budget in great detail, and she has blessed the final version. We are now going to open up this for any questions you may have.
Thank you very much for your report. Very detailed, and we appreciate all the efforts that went in to collecting all the data. Good job. So, commissioners? I
have a question. First of all, that's a cheap trick. I hope Bobby's listening. I know, and I'm smiling back at her on that. On one of your last slides, you showed us the ending balance reserves, or the ending fund balances, right there. There, yes. Okay, one of the things that we know also, and I want to see if there's been any consideration or how you're handicapping this, the possibilities, but the president has requested a reduction in the FY17 budget, which includes reductions in our ballpark. Has there been any consideration of those, of the possibility of those reductions taking place in this calculation?
I'm not sure I understood the question, but if you're asking whether or not we considered the president's budget that he recently released in all of our numbers, the answer is yes.
No, he's submitted two different budget proposals. One is the one leaked to the New York Times, which is known as the skinny budget, and that's the FY18 budget. But last week or the week before, he also sent to the House a request to reduce the FY17 budget for the balance of the fiscal year. That would, if approved, there would be some potential impacts on our ending balances there. And I'm wondering if you've looked into that, considered it, what?
Excuse me, Jeff, just a moment, please. Mr. Gentry has a comment.
Yeah, Gary, we have, and the answer is this budget will be sound either way. We are not a normal local housing agency. You know, as you saw in D.C. last week, most agencies are scared to death right now. They're facing reductions in some of them, some pretty dire circumstances. And that reflects not just budgetary issues out of Washington, but also their particular structures. We are the beneficiaries of some good policy decisions made here in San Diego going back 10 years. The decisions that San Diego made in 2007 to convert most of our public housing, which is a failed business model, to additional vouchers was huge and is the best single policy decision I think the city's made on housing in its history. Decision that this agency made into late 2008 to reestablish, to reengage our Move Into Work program, which my predecessor had let lapse, has given us great flexibility to use those federal funds that we have. And as Mr. Davis indicated in his opening remarks, the efficiencies that we've developed from that will allow us to withstand these cuts going forward. Now, if the programs are entirely eliminated, that's a different fashion. But I don't think that we can make prudent business decisions made based on very low risk, very low likely opportunities for risk to occur. We've taken the probable risk into account here and their worst likely occurrences, and this budget will stand regardless of what the feds do. I'll point out again what I said in my preliminary remarks. The budget cuts that comprise most of the reductions in the president's proposed new budget affect us indirectly but not directly. They will be zeroing out, if it occurs, the CDBG program that goes to the city, the home program that goes to the city, the Section 4 assistance program that goes to a lot of big nonprofits, and other boutique-type programs that do not affect us. Also, the budget proposes some significant reductions in public housing, which will be a nuisance to us but not an existential issue. So that's a long-winded answer to your question. The short answer is we're fine.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Mr. Gramling, any other questions or comments? Commissioners, any other questions or comments?
There's no action required on the part of the Housing Commission. We truly appreciate all of your efforts with the report. Thank you very much. Next item on our agenda is 104, the workshop discussion and discussion of the Housing First San Diego proposed new programs. Mr. Gentry,
who will be presenting?
Mr. Davis will take the lead on this one as well.
Good morning again, Vice Chair Surdy and Commissioners. Jeff Davis, Chief, Chief of Staff. I'm Jeff, yeah. And with me is Melissa Peterman, Vice President of our Housing, Homeless Housing Innovations team. And we are here to present to you the proposed new initiatives of the San Diego Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego Homelessness Action Plan. Each of the proposed initiatives that we're going to present to you today will be included and was included in the budget workshop that was just presented to you. Before we begin, it is important to look at data that provides context to the discussion of homelessness in the city of San Diego. Recent analysis from the Regional Task Force on the Homeless identified the annual number of individuals who are entering, being served by, and exiting San Diego's homeless assistance system. In fiscal year 2016, nearly 23,000 unduplicated individuals were offered help by one or more of San Diego's 220 homeless dedicated programs. The support that they received ranged from services only, such as at the Neil Good Day Center, to temporary housing, to permanent supportive housing. According to the analysis, only 32% of clients who exited the system went into a permanent home. Additionally, a significant finding is the number of individuals who are new to the homeless assistance system. In other words, 58% of our clients, it was fiscal year 2016 that was the first time that they showed up in our database in the last 5 years. An extraordinary high number of homeless individuals are also returning to the system after they previously received services. Further compounding this issue is the lack of prevention and diversion services in San Diego. During the last fiscal year, we had resources enough to prevent or divert only approximately 3% of the people who are at risk of homelessness in the system. In a region with at least 8,600 people experiencing homelessness on any given night, according to the point-in-time count, we know the combination of resources we have is simply not enough to meet the need. What we need is to make data-driven decisions to ensure that we utilize more of the right type of resources. For example, survey data of client characteristics from the point-in-time count, such as chronic homeless status compared to the housing inventory in San Diego, show we need more permanent supportive housing, which is why the prior accomplishments of Housing First San Diego shared with you at the February board meeting are so critical. Through Housing First San Diego to date, the Housing Commission is on target to impact the lives of close to 3,000 homeless individuals with permanent housing opportunities, far exceeding the goal that we had of 1,500 at the start. Examples of our current impact include the creation of 523 permanent supportive housing units through new construction and acquisition, the award of 1,853 federal housing vouchers to nonprofits and developers that are providing services combined with permanent housing. And we also have smaller programs that target special homeless populations, such as former foster youth, families with children, and veterans. This brings us to the proposed new initiatives of Housing First San Diego. The foundation built through the first 3 years of this action plan, coupled with the data previously mentioned, has helped us put together a proposed expansion of programs and funding to address the needs of up to 3,000 individuals and families over the next 3 years through six programs. An estimated $78.7 million will be directed to support homeless prevention and diversion services, coordinated street outreach for coordinated entry, expanded landlord engagement, additional rapid rehousing assistance, new permanent supportive housing, and an introduction of a moving on rental assistance program. So I will now turn it over to Melissa, and she will walk through the details of these new programs.
Thank you, Jeff, and good morning, Commissioners. So the first element is the launch of a homeless prevention and diversion program.
For many families and individuals in the city, homelessness can be avoided with the right support. As Jeff mentioned, San Diego has very few prevention and diversion services to help reduce the inflow of newly homeless individuals. Assistance provided through prevention helps families maintain their current housing situation, while diversion will aid families in staying out of the shelter system by identifying alternative permanent housing options with the necessary supports. Elements of the program will follow the core principles of homelessness prevention outlined and proven to be successful by the National Alliance to End Homelessness, and we will offer counseling, mediation, and financial resources. Target population for this program are individuals and families at risk of homelessness who will be assisted through connection to resources. These efforts will fill funding gaps in current programs and the homeless services system, as well as reduce the number of people becoming homeless and thus the demand for temporary beds in San Diego. In partnership with key stakeholders, the Housing Commission's proposed program will assist approximately 1,050 households to remain permanently housed. Over the three-year term, we are estimating to spend approximately $1.9 million in city inclusionary funds administered by the Housing Commission and other Housing Commission real estate funds to support this program. Second, we propose to invest funds for support of coordinated street outreach among agencies to connect homeless San Diegans with housing. The current landscape for street outreach within San Diego consists of multiple stakeholders engaging in outreach, yet lacks a coordinated, systematic approach. In other words, there isn't a centralized point within our community for business owners or resident groups to call for assistance other than law enforcement. To help fill this system gap, the Housing Commission proposes to fund an outreach coordination position at the Regional Task Force on the Homeless to develop in alignment with a coordinated entry system, an outreach plan for San Diego that will provide additional support and organization among existing efforts, as well as identify coverage gaps within the region. City inclusionary funds for this program over the three-year period are estimated at approximately $300,000. The third proposed program is expanded landlord engagement. Currently, the city has a historically low rental vacancy rate, creating a highly competitive rental market. Since many individuals experiencing homelessness have additional barriers, such as limited income and inadequate credit, they experience extreme challenges in identifying and securing housing. Through an expansion of the landlord outreach program of the Housing Our Heroes initiative, the Housing Commission will increase the number of available privately owned rentals for all individuals experiencing homelessness by mitigating the perceived risk property owners may encounter that could keep them from opening their units to homeless families. Key elements of landlord engagement will continue, such as the unit incentive payments, contingency fund, staff support, and housing navigation. The estimated budget for landlord engagement totals $6.6 million and includes City Inclusionary, San Diego Housing Commission Real Estate, and low-income housing funds. Landlord engagement will also be enhanced through the proposed addition of the Housing Commission's Moving Home Program, which would add new rapid rehousing resources to the region's coordinated entry system. The Moving Home Program will provide funding to house approximately 600 households experiencing episodic and short-term homelessness who need housing-first-focused rapid rehousing. In addition, and as part of the Moving Home Program, the Housing Commission will launch a Rapid Rehousing Plus pilot to provide extended rental assistance and case management services for those families who need support beyond the standard federal assistance. Households assisted through Moving Home will be served using national best practices for rapid rehousing established also by the National Alliance to End Homelessness and the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. Additionally, to help quickly identify affordable units for rapid rehousing participants, the Housing Commission will increase the number of rental units it owns that are set aside as permanent housing for rapid rehousing from 25 to 50 units. Estimated funds needed for the rapid rehousing program total $7.6 million and come from Federal Moving to Work, City Inclusionary, and San Diego Housing Commission real estate funds. As Jeff mentioned earlier, one of the largest gaps in our homeless assistance system is permanent supportive housing. Increasing the number of permanent rental units with supportive services is crucial in assisting San Diego's chronically homeless population. The Housing Commission will invest up to $50 million in federal Moving to Work funds and local funds to acquire single room occupancy units or other similar property types, and to partner with developers to create up to 500 permanent supportive housing units in the next 3 years. This, along with our existing commitment of 733 housing choice vouchers to the County of San Diego's Project One for All initiative, brings our estimated funding commitment for permanent supportive housing to $61.1 million over 3 years. And lastly, our next proposed new program would free up scarce permanent supportive housing resources while continuing to help individuals who need less intensive assistance. Some homeless families currently residing in permanent supportive housing no longer need the high level of supportive services offered, but do still require a long-term subsidy to maintain permanent housing. So the Housing Commission and County Behavioral Health Services Department are partnering on the Moving On program. This program will provide rental assistance to formerly homeless individuals who have successfully stabilized and are able to live more independently while accessing community-based resources. This will make the limited permanent supportive housing resources that they are currently residing in available for vulnerable homeless individuals with a greater need. The Moving On program will provide rental assistance through a Moving to Work initiative for approximately 25 individuals in the first year and will expand to serve up to 50 individuals by the third year.
Thank you, Melissa. So these proposed programs will have a significant and positive impact on the number of San Diegans at risk of and experiencing homelessness. Over the three-year period, the proposed programs will enhance San Diego's homeless system by assisting 3,000 individuals to obtain a permanent home, reducing the inflow of newly homeless individuals by 1,050, and developing up to 500 new permanent supportive housing units. As a community, we still have much work to do, and we at the Housing Commission look forward to this next phase of Housing First San Diego. With the goal of launching these programs on July 1st, staff will continue to work on the various programs over the next few months. The proposals will be back before you before this board, as well as the Housing Authority for approval in May as part of the Housing Commission's fiscal year 2018 budget approval process. Before concluding, we'd just like to thank this board very much for your continued commitment and your continued leadership on this very important issue. And Melissa and I are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Davis and Ms. Peterman. We appreciate a very, very thorough report. All the reports have been absolutely excellent this morning, and we appreciate all the efforts of all of the staff. We cannot say thank you enough. And your dedication is so admirable, and we are so grateful to have so many of you intelligent, devoted, and interested staff helping us with our projects. And Mr. Gentry, thank you as well. And commissioners, thank you as well. I can never say thank you enough, but I'm going to stop right now, and I'll continue the next time. Anyway, thank you. Now, I'd like to hear comments and questions from the commissioners.
I have a comment, if I may. Your very first slide showing the 17,000 entries into the system highlights the reason that Commissioner Surdy and I were arguing for an increased allocation. The entire region only gets $17 million, and that's spread between 35 different agencies within the county. You know, 35 or 17 million with 17,000 entries, it's a pretty low dollar figure per head. So that's the importance of trying to do that. Secondly, this plan puts the burden on you developers to come up with some additional projects, because as I said, we want to come up with, what was it, 500 more units here fairly shortly. So guys, get out there and find those projects. Okay. That's what Arnold said.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Mr. Artusen?
Oh. It's just great to see the dots being connected, especially with the Moving On component at the end, correlating with our Move to Work program, the prevention. It's nice to see all of that finally coming together. And I know it's been an incredible amount of work, and especially leading with the data that just tells the story that we haven't been able to tell in quite a long time. So thank you again for all of your work.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Gentry?
And just to put this whole effort in context, as you all well know, the Housing Commission was not set up initially to be a homelessness services delivery organization. And we've been fairly late to this in the history of this outfit. The fact that we are involved now directly reflects the policy decisions made by this board, going back to the first strategic plan that you all put together in 2013, which we then began responding to in a systematic way in 2014, in which we are continuing. So both Housing First San Diego and its 1.0 version, its 2.0 version, and now what we're proposing this year is its 3.0 version, directly reflects the good policy direction and decisions made by you all. And as a CEO, I really appreciate you being clear in what you expect us to do. And what you're expecting as well is going to be reflected, I have no doubt, by the Housing Authority members down the street. So thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. So this concludes our discussion agenda. The regular meeting is adjourned.